You've seen the movie. You've watched the TV show. You've read the book. You've heard the soundtrack. You've smelled the perfume. You've tasted the reasonably priced pickles. Now, at long last, it's time to experience the next phase. Direct from New York City and a hovel somewhere near Oxford, England. It's the all-new podcast with Mark and Bruce. Exactly the same as the old podcast. Only betterer.
Hello. And welcome to... It's episode 41 of Rain Stops Play.
41.
With me and him.
Bloody
Bruce
hell.
Winwood.
Do you realise that means we've done 74 episodes, including our previous incarceration.
Incarceration. It is a bit like an incarceration.
Incantation. What's the one I'm looking for? Bollockeration.
Previous.
What is it when you have previous Doctor Who's? Different.
I had it on my tongue then, but now you've said all those words.
Iteration. Well, it's like an iteration. No,
previous,
it's not.
Previous.
Incarnation, isn't it? Was that too Jesus-y? Jesus is too God.
Incarnation. It was incarnation, yeah. Wasn't that the first word you said?
I can't remember. Anyway, so...
That's like when you get into a pint of cream.
A pint of cream?
Incarnation.
Oh, I see. You've got to know that carnation is cream. What about people out there who are anti-creamists and have no idea? They've been brought up and they haven't been... And they've had all cream products kept from them because that's their religious belief. What about those people?
Fuck them.
What about them? No, Mark. That's probably where we're going wrong. There's certain people we're probably offending.
You're right,
Why our numbers are dropping. We've noticed, just before we came on air, we noticed that our numbers haven't been very good recently. So I think it might have been... I don't know who we're offending. Or if people are just...
I think we're offending everybody, pretty much, I would think. I mean, I did last week say that the God of the Old Testament was a cunt.
Oh, yes, you did.
That's not going to go down well with a lot of people.
I don't know how many.
I do kind of regret saying that. I've said it again now, but I was thinking about it all week, like, oh, God, I'm definitely, probably damned. I'm damned.
I don't think you're damned. We should...
What if we've got it wrong? What if all this is real? And what if, God is like just a total fucking bastard?
What if he's a total...
And he's like, whoa, listen to those two down there. I'm going to have fun when...
If he's a total fucking bastard, right, then we don't want to be with him anyway. We don't want to be in his gang. We don't want to go to his heaven, if it's a bastard heaven, do we?
Bastard heaven.
Bastard. At the door, at the pearly gates. Welcome to Bastard Heaven. No, I don't want to go. Is there an alternative?
Well, all that love your neighbour stuff, forget that.
Out of the fucking window,
it's
mate.
Kill or be killed.
He says, have you not read about Joshua, eh? Leading the Israelites into Canaan? Hey, that's right. He was my main man, he was. Anyway, I do find it quite fascinating. The religious thing anyway. So we will be doing a bit of that today. But we've got a bit of a twist today, haven't we, Mark?
Well, you will have already noticed, probably, if you're listening, that today's show started off a bit differently than normal because we started off with a song by a band called Japanese Breakfast. And it was a song called Be Sweet. Because we noticed last week that now with this anchor thing that we do the podcast through, that you can actually... have music, which before you weren't allowed to do. So I said to him, I said, why don't we start playing some tunes, break it up a bit so it's not just us waffling on for hours and hours. And he said, all right then. So that's what we're doing.
And also, I think I was getting quite jealous of occasionally listening to classic FM. It's the same with BBC Radio 3. So when they put classical music on, sometimes the classical tunes are quite long. And then I was getting quite jealous of the DJs. They just sort of go in their chocolatey voice. Well, that was Brahms' 56th overture, conducted by Poopy 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 and played by lots of musicians. And coming up now, it's blah, 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 playing blah, blah, blah. And that's what they say. They just said this is. And they might say, and coming up later in the show, some weather. And then there'll be news. and some sport, but I won't be doing any of those things. I'll be doing very short links in between these very long classical music tunes, and they're being paid quite a lot of these people, quite a lot of money. So it does tick the idler box a bit, doesn't it, as well?
Yeah, it does. But then also bear in mind, we are kind of doing this for fun.
Oh yes, we are. That's true.
Therefore,
well, yes.
If the idea is like basically just to like say as little as possible.
No.
What's the point doing it?
No, there was.
It's not like.
Gosh, are we having an existentialist moment here on RSP?
Yeah,
what's the point in doing it? Is it time for another song already, by the way? We've been on air for 5 minutes with this new song thing. Do we have another one now or not? Or should we have something a bit more solid, a bit of meat before we move on?
I'll tell you what. Yeah. Let's listen to Blue Jay Way by the Beatles from the 1967 album Magical Mystery Tour. And then let's come right back with something more solid.
Well, there you go. That was
going to be brilliant.
That was nice. I enjoyed that. That was very nice. I mean, you can't knock the Beatles, can you? You can have a go.
But I think it's one of their most underrated tracks, to be honest. That's the George Harrison one.
Yeah.
It's very trippy.
What's trippy?
Yeah. So anyway, what's coming up next on the new all new Red Stops Play with Mark and Bruce?
Well, I want to do a quick Red Stops Play hero moment.
There goes a hero of Red Stops Play. There goes a hero. A hero of Rain Stops Play. Hero.
So last week, of course, we had, for those of you who listened, I was going to bother to listen. Don't say bother to listen because that's despising your own audience. or not. So Andrew, what was his name? Andrew, oh, come on, Andrew.
Andrew Kemp.
Kemp, thank you very much. So he was our hero for the old litter camp. So, but this week, I thought we'd, this ties in with the fact that I'm going to get a jab up my arse with this ear anti-plague vaccine on the 21st of March. Yeah, I am.
How did you manage that?
Well, I went online and I asked for it and they said, all right, you can have some, Mr. Windy Wood.
Aren't you a bit young?
I am too young.
A bit too young.
I am too young to have it.
But did you lie about your age?
I lied. I said I was 19.
19.
And they said, oh, no, that's not right. No, I said I was 90. 19. I said I was 90. No,
is
I
this
didn't.
Because of your teaching?
No, they are actually asking for my age group now. Which is short. I know, it makes you feel very old.
I know.
So I went online and I booked my slot, as it were, with Nurse Naughty. Oh dear, that came out ruder than I expected it to. Booking my slot with Nurse Naughty. I meant it to be sort of more very light, carry on light there by just saying Nurse Naughty. Mm-hmm. I didn't mean to tie slots in with that. Sorry, can I just say that? Anyway, bit of a disaster. And on the 21st of March, I'm going down to the Kesam Stadium where they used to play football, but now they jab people in the ass to stop them getting played.
And it's making me laugh.
So
it's got the idea of like a lot of people kind of running on, like, you know, just you've got to run across the pitch, and they're gonna like they just like jab you as you run past.
That's it.
And they're bringing on the under 55s now.
Oh no, chase me. A bit like Hunger Games meets
right.
football meets plague. So anyway, I'm wandering away from the point a little bit here because I was meant to be leading up to the fact that this week I want to say that the RSP hero is. Well, actually, it's a group of people. It's everyone.
It's me.
It's me. It's me. It's everyone like me. Yeah, yeah. Who have had their vaccinations or they're about to have their vaccinations. So everyone's been vaccinated. Everybody so far. That's 21 million people in the UK and lots of millions around the world. People like me who are going to be doing it soon. So everyone has had a vaccination. Well done. You are all heroes for doing it. You are heroes.
A bit. You're a bit of a hero.
You're a bit of a hero because you are doing it. We're all taking this.
Taking the shot.
taking the shot,
taking the hit,
and ignoring all the absolute nonsense, the twaddle that's going on social media about vaccination being a whole list of reasons why you shouldn't take it, which I can't be asked to give any more oxygen to that sort of nonsense. So, well done to people who are taking it, and hopefully helping to kick it into touch.
Yeah, well, that leads me rather nicely, I'd say, onto a bit of a rant.
Gosh.
A health-related rant. And the rant is about the UK government and their paltry 1% pay rise for NHS staff, which apparently is equivalent to about £3.50 a week.
Do you say poultry, or as in chickens? Oh,
poultry.
Oh, poultry.
P-A-L-T-R-Y.
It's very close to the word poultry, isn't it?
Meagre, yes.
Isn't it?
It is close to poultry. Totally undercut my
I did rather.
Rant.
I don't know why I did that. It was quite fun, though. Sorry, go on. Good rant. Do it. Do a bit more of
yes.
that. Yes.
So, it's pathetic, you know, after all the year that the NHS staff have had dealing with this virus, putting themselves on the line, putting their lives on the line, and I think it's something like 1,000 NHS staff who've lost their lives to COVID in the last year, and all this, you know, oh, stand outside and applaud, and then offer 1% pay rise. It's absolutely insulting, don't you think?
It does.
It's totally insulting.
I was trying to think of the how much money has gone to Boris's chums or friends of Boris, friends of the Tories, who've been for the track and trace system that hasn't worked. Because the billions apparently have gone there. So you do sort of think, well, maybe some of that money, maybe they could pay back some of that money, or maybe all of that, because it hasn't worked. And then that money can go to the NHS people. It's also a strange number, isn't it? Because 1%, there's something a bit snide about 1%, isn't it? It's like, well, we're going to give you something, but it's going to be almost nothing. It's like 1% is almost nothing. And you kind of think, well, actually, if they'd sort of done 3% or something, people still would have gone, that's not enough. But still, it would feel like, well, I tell you what, 3%, whereas everyone else is getting, all the other public sector workers are getting their salaries frozen. So 3%. But just something so desultory. oh, fucking hell. Shit. There's something shit about.
Incantation. Indoctrination.
Derisory about 1%. It's like derisory. It's almost pointless. It's an almost pointless
thing. Absolutely disgusting. So that's my rant.
Yeah,
fucking assholes. I think we should have a little break for another tune.
Okay,
this is one that you picked, and I have to say I've never heard this song before. This band Lamb with a song called Gorecki that you suggested. Why don't you set that up? Do you know how did you hear about that?
Right, actually I was introduced to it by Katie.
Ah.
Katie played this to me years ago, and I really liked it. I'd like that again, and I love her. And I like it a lot. Is that a good intro?
Well, brilliant. That's fantastic. So here is the song that Bruce likes a lot, Lamb, Gorecki.
Andrew Love, if you want some graphic design, go to Andrew Love. Andrew Love, Andrew Love, if you want some graphic design, go to Andrew Love. Andrew Love.
Logo.
I want to talk about the moon.
Do you?
I do. So do you know all about this Japanese artist billionaire chap? Have you heard about that?
What's his name?
Don't ask me his name.
Well, I don't know.
Even if it was in front of me, I'd mispronounce it and we'd lose all our Japanese listeners. Yeah. Listener. So anyway, he's a Japanese billionaire artist guy. He's quite young as well. It's quite impressive. I mean, it's anyway. Anyway, he basically has booked a space rocket that belongs to that Elon Musk.
Yeah.
And in 2020, I think it's 2 years' time, actually. Is it 23, 22? Musk's new spacecraft is going to go to the moon. They're not going to land, but they're going to spin around it. They're going to go around the dark side of the moon and come home, hopefully, not just carry on into interstellar space. The idea is to pop home again. And this guy, what's quite fascinating, is he's going to be him and a couple of mates, but he's got another 8 seats on it. And he's just basically, he's bought the tickets, and he said, who would like to join me? For free, in effect. Who would like a free trip?
Really?
Around the moon. And originally it was going to be just asking creative people, you know, like a musician or an artist or whatever. I think he's opened it up a little bit more to, than that. So, Mark, would you like to go to the moon on that space rocket?
Are you asking me to go to the moon with you?
No.
You're saying, like, because I've booked a couple of seats. Do you want to come with me? Do you want to be my plus one?
I haven't booked any, but would you not go if I didn't come with you? Is that like...
Would I not go? I'd go with you. Yeah, I don't want to go on my own.
But no, you won't be on your own. There'll be all these other...
I know I wouldn't be on my own, but
the other people
wouldn't want to go if I didn't know anybody.
But you'll get to know them because it takes 6 days, 3 days out, 3 days back. You'll get to know them. Yeah.
I don't know if I can really take the time off.
That's true. Hang on a minute, that leads on to something else, but we mustn't forget that. Would you like to, okay, if you could wangle some time off, if you could get wangle out of your busy schedule, you get 6 days off, is that the sort of thing you'd like to do?
Well, if it was guaranteed that I wouldn't die, that I wouldn't blow up, or that it wouldn't go off trajectory and then just send us off into space forever.
Right.
Then I would quite like to, yeah. I
think we have to say at this point, there's no guarantee about anything in life, Mark, let alone this space rocket.
Well,
I
suppose it would be something to do.
Yes, it kills 6 days, wouldn't it? If you didn't sound that bothered, to be honest.
If it's free.
It's free. That's the obviously number one important thing to you. I'd like to find out what sort of snacks and food and drinking things. I wouldn't like to be sat there with shit food, you know, sort of space astronaut food. Because do they have proper food now, or do they still have those little sachets full of shit? And actually, another thing, I mean, is there going to be a proper flush toilet on there, or do they have to poo in their pants and it gets sucked out?
I think it probably gets sucked out.
If there was a flushing toilet at the back of it,
how would you have a flush toilet? In zero gravity.
I don't know, because Elon Musk...
just flush it and it'll all just like come pouring out. And then you'd wreck everything.
Yeah, Elon Musk might have come up with a solution. He's a clever chap. He's
the space toilet.
Space toilet. I think if it was a good space toilet, where I could have a really good, satisfying and unmolested number two, I would... No, unmolested by people being too nearby. Yeah. I don't want to be sat there having a poo and... You know, and there's just a sort of a beaded curtain between me and the rest of the passengers. And everyone's getting, windward, whiff, whiff, listen to him. I'd want to have a proper separate...
a beaded curtain.
a proper separate part of the spaceship.
Yeah.
Where I could sit there with my magazines and everything else and just chillax. And I'll have a bit of me time as well, because you've got 4 days in the company with other people. Might get a bit
Six
much.
Days.
6 days, sorry. Yes, sorry, 6 days. Okay. Well, I know there's probably time for another tune in a moment, but before we play another tune, two more things I want to say. The first is related to that. So Perseverance, you've been following that at all? The old rover on Mars?
Nah.
Not at all?
Not really.
Why?
Don't know.
Why not? Why aren't you interested in that?
Can't be bothered.
Can't be bothered to be interested. Or can't bother to stare at any.
Got
pictures.
Much better things to do.
You haven't. Like what? What have you been doing? I tell you what. That.
No, you're right. I haven't got anything.
I'm right about what?
That I haven't got anything better to do.
The only thing I have to say, I love all this stuff, spacey stuff. You obviously didn't give a shit. So I really hope that Japanese billionaire does not invite you That would be awful, wouldn't it? After all this, if you got an invite from him, a personal invite,
yeah,
and
I went and I took the space that took up that place, and I was like, yeah, it was all right.
It was,
it was all right. It wasn't as good as you know, sitting at home watching Doctor Who, but it was all right.
That would be dreadful in the press conference. Yeah, I mean, it'd be much, much better if they'd been flushing
good snacks,
flushing
good
toilet,
snacks,
flushing toilet, and maybe a glass of champagne as we as we left the launch pad. Okay, so Mars, you don't give a shit. I tell you what, I do give a shit. But what's quite funny is that when you do see the pictures, they say new pictures in from Mars, and you see the pictures and you look at the planet and you think, actually, that planet is just. It's awful, isn't it? It's not awful. It's not like central Venus awful. It's not like the fiery, burning sulfur hell. But yeah, it just looks so dull, doesn't it? It looks like the most dull bit of desert there is. I don't see even any sand dunes. A big sand dune would be good, but it's just like the odd little bit of rock and then just arid, airless.
I've got to say, though, it is very boring to look at, but it is also... It is genuinely quite exciting to look at that and go, that's Mars.
No, I know.
That is another planet.
Vault face there. You changed your tune suddenly, haven't you?
Yeah, I know, of course. I was just goofing around. I haven't been following it closely, but I have been loosely kind of keeping an eye on it.
No, it is. The fact that there's this little fella, there's this little robot thing there, is quite amazing. Although I thought it would be quite funny if you imagine a couple of little Martian kids watching the whole thing. So they've been playing around. This thing lands, and then they've waited there for like days, and the thing hasn't done anything. They think, well, that's shit. And then it starts to move, and it's done about, I don't know, 10 feet in a day or something.
Yeah.
And it's just gone around in circles, very small circle or something. And they're sat there going, well, that is awful. Why did they bother sending that? That is shit.
Yeah.
That is really shit, you know. Why? But then, of course, as soon as the helicopter takes off, they might get a bit more interested, might they? Oh, it's got a little helicopter now. Okay. Okay.
Is it really a helicopter, or are you just making that up?
No, it's not. It's a drone thing. It is a flying device, yeah.
Yeah.
It's not a helicopter, like, with a person sat in it.
Well, no, there's like no person in it.
No.
Not really an action. Anyway.
No. Yes.
Enough about that.
Time for tune.
Well, yeah, I think based on what we were just talking about, we should listen to Life on Mars by David Bowie.
Brilliant.
Gore.
Gore, blimey.
A classic.
It is super classic. And what's his face? Played piano, didn't he?
Rick Wakeman.
Rick Wakeman on that.
He played on quite a lot of stuff. He played on...
On Bowie's stuff,
he played with
the
Velvet Underground or Lou Reed,
did he?
Which is quite unusual.
He was the go-to man.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, the Ivories. Yes, and that was
now that we've gone into space.
Yes,
and we're looking for God. We should probably move on to you know what.
God.
Bible study with Mark and Bruce. Bible study with Mark and Bruce.
Right, I'm Mark. I'm going to give you a choice this week.
Okay.
It's a genuine choice. Okay. You can, because we're on Zoom.
What do you mean by a genuine choice?
Well, I'm not going to dupe you in any way. This is a genuine choice. Do you see on Zoom? There are two. There's the Bible. Hang on, let's bash that.
Yeah.
Bash my microphone. Well, look, there, you can see the Bible. There's two little yellow things sticking out of the Bible, which means there's two different passages that I've marked up. And you get the choice of which one we're going to do today. Okay, the choices are this. A, the further adventures of Moses' magic wand, or stroke, staff.
Okay.
Yeah? Or Saw 5.
What? Saw 5?
I don't know. Saw 5? Well, you know the Saw series.
Yeah, I thought that's what you said. I thought maybe I misheard
you. Saw 5. Which one do you want today?
Well, what's that got to do with the Bible? I'm confused.
No, because it's giving you a choice. It's just like, I'm not telling you what Saw 5 or the further adventures of Moses' magic wand.
Well, I've had enough of Moses. Let's go for Saw 5.
Okay, here we go. Saw 5. This is from Judges 19. And the title of the story is called A Levite, as in a person from the tribe the tribe of Levi, and his concubine.
Good genes.
Yes, they are a little bit toppy price-wise. Not that kind of Levite, not someone who wears Levi jeans, but one of the tribes of Israel. And his concubine, not to be confused with a porcupine or anything else like that. This is a ridiculous thing to say. Sorry, I don't know why I said that. Stupid me. Anyway, so I'm not going to even bother with the first few verses because it's boring. But anyway, there's a Levite and his concubine, and they're bubbling around. They're bubbling around, and eventually they reach a place called Gibeah, which is in the Benjamites' neck of the woods. So this is another.
I've already switched off.
No, stick with it. Another tribe called the Benjamites. So anyway, and they've popped up there. Him and his concubine, and they rock up and they go to the city square. But no one took them into their home for the night. So night falls. It's a little bit scary. You're in a town on your own, and no one's invited them in to stay. But this chap comes up to them, an old man. He says, "Where are you going? Where did you come from?" And the Levite says, "We are on our way to Bethlehem and Judah, blah, 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 blah." and so the old man says, "Well, you are welcome at my house. Let me supply whatever you need. Just don't, only don't spend the night in the square." So that's a nice man, isn't it?
So only don't fuck my daughter. Oh, that's what I was expecting.
I haven't finished, obviously.
Oh, right. Oh, no.
So he took him into his house and fed his donkeys. After they washed their feet, they had something to eat and drink. Oh, that's nice, isn't it? While they were enjoying themselves, some of the wicked men...
Hang on a second. After they washed their feet, they had something to eat. Were they eating with their feet? What about washing their hands?
I don't know. I think...
That's a bit weird.
There's things I miss. I missed that when I was reading that first of all. I can see that now. That is a bit odd. So they washed. They washed their feet. They're tucking into their hummus with their feet. While they were enjoying themselves, some of the wicked men of the city surrounded the house.
Oh,
I wonder where this is going. Mm. Okay, I mean, obviously you haven't read this passage, have you? So what do you think is going to happen next? Here we go. Pounding on the door, they shouted to the old man who owned the house. Well, guess what they shouted, Mark?
Give us your daughter. Give us your food.
You're in the right sort of, yeah. So think back to Sodom and Gomorrah. Do you remember that one we did that?
Bring that nice young chap out so that we can Roger him.
There we go. Bring out the man who came to your house so we can have sex with him. Now, the owner of the house went outside and said to them, "No, my friends, don't be so vile." So good for the old man. Good old man. Since this man is my guest, don't do this disgraceful thing. So he's an old man. There's a gang out there who want to Roger the Levite. And so he's really putting himself out for him, taking quite a risk. And then he says, "Look, here is my virgin daughter and the man's concubine. I will bring them out to you now, and you can use them and do to them whatever you wish. But to this man, don't do such a disgraceful thing."
This is exactly the same story as we've heard before.
It's quite similar, isn't it? It's quite similar.
Yeah.
Quite similar. Yeah, he's saying basically, "I've got guests, leave the male guests alone, but have my daughter." And this time he's saying, "Have the concubine as well."
Yeah. It's like,
but the men...
That's not even his to offer, is it, surely?
It wasn't really, was it? You think at that point maybe the Levi might have been the same.
I don't want to be Rogered.
Yes, or the Levite saying, "Look, if anyone's going to let him do this, it'll be me, right? Not you, old man, right? Yeah. She's my concubine." But the men would not listen. So we have a standoff here. He's offered up his virgin daughter and the chap's concubine. So now the man intervenes. He says, the man took his concubine and sent her outside to them. Okay, so he made that decision for her in the end. And they raped and abused her throughout the night, and at dawn they let her go. At daybreak, the concubine, went back to the house where her master was staying, fell down at the door, and lay there until daylight. When her master got up in the morning and opened the door, so this is the Levite of the house, and stepped out to continue on his way. I'm laughing, but this is so awful. There lay his concubine fallen in the doorway of the house with her hands on the threshold. He said to her, "Get up, let's go."
Right.
Which is rude at the best of times, isn't it? Get up and let's go. If I said that to you, come on, Mark, get up, let's go. You go, fuck off, that's rude. But the context being that he's sent her out to get gang raped, and now she's kind of
dead. I don't know if I can carry on with this.
Well, you chose this one. You could have had.
Well, I didn't know what it was going to be.
Well, doesn't matter. I did say like Saw 5. Everyone who saw it, such a thing has never been. So what he did was when he reached home. So he put her on his donkey, and they left the old man's house, saying thank you, sorry about that, all that. So she's dead on a donkey. So when he reached home, he took a knife and cut up his concubine limb by limb into 12 parts, and sent them into all the areas of Israel. There you go. So that's the more the kind of that's more the Saw thing. That's what I was leading to. So he chops her up and sends her out to all the different.
Well, it's going to be very hard to segue into the next tune that I've got lined up after that.
Give it your best shot.
Oh my god!
Give it a go.
Well.
Come on, Mark, you can do it. You're professional.
I think we'll have to play something different. I think we'll have to. I was going to go to Breakfast in Bed by Dusty Springfield.
Okay. Well, I'll do it.
I think we'll have to go to REM, Losing My Religion, instead.
Oh, right, okay, that makes a bit more sense.
That seems a bit more appropriate. Oh, my God, that was dreadful. I do apologise to everybody for that awful story.
There we go. So that was.
Let's make a vow. In the future, to avoid any stories that involve rape. Terrible. Cutting up is so ridiculous.
Yes,
that it, is kind of funny, but that's dreadful.
Sorry, Mark. You, I contacted you during the week, and you said that I asked you how you were, and you'd said that you were quite tired because you'd had a super on day.
Oh yeah.
In one day you had done tons of stuff, including finishing off that track for us.
Mix.
Yeah. And lots of other things as well. And then you said, and now I'm just, this is probably the future. Work very hard, have a super on day, and then have 6 days off. Which I think from the idler's point of view is very good. That's quite a good idea. I like that.
Yeah, although the next day when I didn't have anything to do really because I'd done everything, I did start to get a bit sort of miserable because I was just lying about feeling like I want to do something, but I've done it all, done everything there is to do in the whole world, and now I'm just going to watch TV.
Yeah.
But it did actually give me a bit of inspiration and motivation to carry on. I did do a little bit more during the week of getting. I went through all my unfinished tunes on that I've got in my computer, and decided which ones I could actually turn into songs, and which ones really I could just make instrumental library stuff. And so I did that. I went through and mixed a couple of them for library music and made different versions of them, and then submitted them. So that was good.
But that's good. But do you think that's something that you would advocate? Would you suggest that other people might find that as a useful way of working? Pile it all into one day and then have six days to recover, kick back? Because I do like the idea of that.
I think it is quite a good way to work.
One super on day. Yeah. Okay. Can you tell us, please, also, I forgot to ask, last week we were talking, you had a job interview, didn't you? Has that happened? That was this week, wasn't it? Or have you forgotten?
No. He said he was. He said he would call me.
Oh, okay.
And he never called. But he might do.
Oh, right.
I think he said he would call me during this week. During the week.
Well, it's only just begun this week, isn't it? But, so that's fine.
If it doesn't happen, I don't really care. Don't really want to work anyway. No. I want some money.
Yes.
For not doing anything.
It's annoying.
I'm still looking into that, you know, hiring myself out to not do something, to not do anything.
Yeah. Is it time for a tune, or is it a time for a bit of a Hester?
Interesting enough, as you were talking about getting everything done in one day, we may as well have this song by Elbow that you picked, One Day Like This.
Ah, yes. Yeah, it's one of the two anthemic tunes I've chosen, isn't it, this week? The other one's quite anthemic coming up. And it's very surprising. It's surprisingly positive. No, I do find it very a positive song. And there have been a few days recently with some beautiful blue sky going on over here in the UK. So, and it is that whole thing about, however tough things are and how many grey, dull days you've had and how many lockdowns you've had and how many pandemics have rolled over you in the last few years, then actually, us human beings, one blue sky day, and we feel much better, much, much better. And I certainly feel like that. A bit of blue sky. Arr. And I would highly, highly, highly recommend to anybody listening once again to buy yourselves a hammock. Not a hammock that you tie between trees, because that means you need two trees and you can't move it around the garden. So one of these self-raising hammocks, self-standing hammocks, like what I've mentioned before. And then even if it's chilly, it's still quite cold here, just get a rug underneath you, a rug over the top of you, a couple of pillows, and just give yourself a very gentle swing with one foot. And face the sun. And it really is absolutely transforming. Transformatory, really. Transformatory. Yeah. Yes. Okay. Do that, everyone. Do it now. Don't dally.
Don't do it right now. Do it when this is over.
Is it time now?
For what?
This would be a great place to listen to the show, by the way. A hammock.
Yeah.
Listen to this in a hammock. Anyway.
A hammock show.
Should we have a bit of Hester, or should we have a bit of Simon?
Let's have a bit of Hester.
Give it to me.
It's a classic. It's a classic question.
Well, I've got no corporate investors. I'm goofy about like a couple of jesters. Try to stop as you try to arrest us. But before you do, it's time for Hester's testers.
Suppose your house is on fire, and you only have time to save one thing, not including people or pets, because they're already safe. What would it be, Bruce?
Sorry, do I have to answer just because you asked it?
What's the point of asking the question first if you're not going to answer it?
If it's a... Well, I will, but I thought you
might... Then we'll have another question next week that we're not going to answer.
I am going to answer it. It's a shame it's only one thing. That's a tough one.
Mm.
Now, I'm going to be a bit naughty here, and when the fire comes, I'm going to hope that it's on a day when the hammock is outside in the garden, so that is safe.
Right.
Am I allowed to do that? The hammock is safe, and also the electric bike is outside is kept outside anyway, so that is also safe. Which means there's only one other thing that I have to take from the house, and what is that that I can save?
Piano.
What do I have to? That's right. It's got to be the piano. So the piano, the hammock, and the e-bike have all survived the fire, and those are the three things that make me the most happiest as in terms of material things.
What concerns me about that statement is that if the hammock is safe, if you know that the hammock's outside, that would sort of imply that you knew there was going to be a fire, which therefore makes me think you started it deliberately.
Why would I start it deliberately? That'd be mad.
For to get rid of the incriminating documents that I know you've got. I can see them right here in that top corner in that big cardboard box.
That actually has a label on it saying incriminating documents.
Yeah, that was what led my eye to it.
Yeah. Well, I have to do that because when I'm looking around for my incriminating documents, I have to have them labelled, otherwise I don't know which box to look into. So yes, you see right through me, Mark.
You need some kind of code word. So it's not
for the
rather than saying incriminating documents, it said something like I don't know, blueberry muffin recipe.
Yeah, but the problem is, you see, as we're getting older, as we both know, our memories is getting more and more shite. So we will do it, and then 2 years later, we'll go, what's this? I'm looking for my incriminatory documents, and what this? It's a box full of recipes. See?
Or there's also the danger then that when your friend PC Wilkins comes round, like he does sometimes, and says, I know, you know, have you got any blueberry muffin recipes? You go, oh, yeah, I've got a box full of them. Here, take this with you and have a look through when you're at home. There's loads of them.
Yeah.
And you'll be in deep trouble.
Deep, deep shit. Good point, matey. Thank you. I'll learn from all of that. Piano, thank you. You? Piano,
right.
How about you? You go.
I would save my dignity by not returning to a burning building. Because I don't want to be running through a burning building like, you know, go, I've got to save my priceless wig collection. Yeah. Whatever. I don't really have anything worth saving anyway. To be honest, it can all burn.
Well, hang on. I'm looking at some instruments behind you. Surely you want to save some instruments?
Well,
so there's a sack butt behind you.
The sack butt, I wouldn't want to save the sack butt. Okay. And the harmonium. And what's that thing called? Ding-ding-ding that you play with. I can't remember what it's called even. Like a piano, but harpsichord,
Harpsichord,
the harpsichord, the 17th century harpsichord. Probably want to save that. I can only save one thing. Probably from this apartment, the only thing I would actually run in to save would be my signed David Hockney poster that is hanging on the wall, the one that I found on the street a couple of years ago. I don't think it's really worth anything much, but it does have sentimental value.
Okay, so you'll save a poster.
I'll save a piano. It doesn't sound very...
I'll save a piano. Poster. You save a poster. Something you could pick up from
It's signed. Scene, signed by David Hockney. Signed. It's signed. It actually...
Was it definitely David Hockney who did it? Or was did you see him do it?
It's a real signature.
At the time. Was he there? Did he sign it?
If it isn't David Hockney who did it, then it's somebody who can do a very, very, very identical signature to David Hockney's. Because I've researched it. It
probably is worth a few, Bob. He's a very famous man. Okay, that's good. Thank you.
It's not really. Well, let's have another tune now.
Yes. What have we got, Mark?
Let's have Dusty Springfield, Breakfast in Bed. Well, I think now it must be time for the next question of the day from the Hookster.
Yeah, Mr. Hookster. Come on, then.
Well, you can ask this next question.
Oh, I haven't got it in front of me.
All right, I'll answer it. Okay.
No, I've got it. Come on, then.
On the Hook with Simon Hook, his questions we do slay, on rinsed up slay.
Considerate considerers, contrary to the saying, is revenge actually a dish best served piping hot? What do you reckon about that?
Well, because the saying goes that if you're going to commit revenge, you wait, don't you?
You don't. Yeah, well, that's not how the saying goes. The saying goes, revenge is a
I'm just trying to explain to people who don't realise what that means. Like, I was trying to remind myself what it means. Right. Basically, it means that if you, Mark, do something bad to me, instead of me just instantly doing something bad to you, I wait. I wait and I reflect and I devise some cruel and cunning plan that will deliver some withering comeback.
Yeah.
10 times as great as the one you gave me. And I can only do that by spending time and working on my plan. So,
well, I think you've pretty much answered the question, haven't you? Because
what?
Yeah, that's why it's best to wait.
So, although I think what you could do, go, is this: if you really, Mark, if you really pissed me off, and I wanted revenge, and it just in that moment of kind of I want to get anger, that would be hot, wouldn't it? The hot time.
Yeah.
Then maybe I might do something which, in using that anger, would be far more powerful, have far more impact than to wait and let the emotion just dissipate. Because otherwise, if you just let it dissipate, you might lose the impetus for revenge, right? You might go get reflective and go, actually, he was a bit of a cock mark, but he's my mate, so I'll just let it go. You might. Am I totally misunderstanding?
I suppose. Let's put that to the side and just assume that you're not going to back down, and that you're actually going to exact revenge. So, I would think, let's use the example that, okay, like, I've just really pissed you off, and your natural instinct is to punch me in the face.
Yeah.
Right?
Which it is.
Well, I know it is.
It always has been. It always has been. But the problem is you've been 3,000 miles away, so nothing I can do about it.
Yeah. So, if in the moment of anger, and I would sort of probably be expecting it, so I might, it might not have as much impact, because I might, you know, move away a bit, or put my hands up and stop you. Whereas if we're just like a later date, just walking on the street, and you go, oh look over there, it's Scarlett Johansson. I look over, and then you can smack me in the head, unexpectedly, and say, that was for that thing you did 3 weeks ago.
That was the thing. I know what I would do. I'd go, that, and you say, what's that for? And I'd go, oh, I can't remember.
It just felt like it.
I'd just say it was something you did and I can't remember, but it must have been really bad. Otherwise, I wouldn't be doing that to you.
Yeah.
So there we go. Do we answer that?
Well, I think the answer to the question is no.
No,
I don't think it is best served piping hot. I think
it's Simon, it's no. So no, all right? No,
very definite no. Sorry, you're
no. Yeah. Right, put that away in the no drawer. Okay, so time for a final. Well, a final tune. Are we building up to a final tune?
Now? Thought for the day.
Do you have a thought for the day?
No, I don't know why I even suggested that. Yeah, well, thank you very much for listening once again to Rain Stops Play with us, isn't it? And we've got one more tune. This one is one that Bruce picked as well. It's Blur with a song called The Universal.
Yeah. I like it.
Brilliant. That's so pithy and... I like it.
I like it a lot.
Yeah.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye, everybody. Tune in next week.
Cheerio.